Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Craigie Hill Presbyterian, to those who are gathered in person, and also those who are watching on YouTube, and also on the phone-in service. It is good to have you all here this morning. Of course, this is the second of the services this morning. Our half nine went very well. We were pleased. We had about 46 or so out in the morning. So we were delighted with that. And now to have you all here is great, is great. Particularly with the weekend that's in it, with the announcements of the fresh restrictions from the government. I will speak to what that means for us, but just let me get through a few announcements for our incoming week. Tonight, 6:30, we're thinking about the larger catechism, and particularly Genesis 1 and the creation of the world. The creation of the world. I'm really looking forward tonight. It's not often that I get the chance to speak on creation. I think last time we were in the shorter catechism, I think, Campbell, you did that particular evening. So I'm looking forward to speaking to God's speaking. And it came into being. That's this evening. This evening at 6:30 over in the hall. During the week, we've got midweek, 8 p.m., looking through the next chapter of Joshua. And that will be in person or on, and also on Zoom. You can Zoom in. So I encourage you to that. And then, of course, on the Friday at whatever time, was it midnight or something, on Friday, the restrictions come in. So that means for us that church next Sunday morning and evening will not be allowed to meet in person in here. Or over in the hall. Our plan, well, as we are experienced with, we will YouTube, we will stream, and also on the Zoom, that morning reflection at 11. We are thinking about and we are planning about this idea of a drive-in. I'm just waiting to see how that might come together. So do watch the evening or keep in touch with us, and we'll see what way that works out. But regardless, at 11 o'clock next week, on the 29th, there will be something up on YouTube for sure. A reflection live as our custom, and then also at 6:30. And then the following week as well, that's the case. That's the 6th of December. God willing, after that, the restrictions come to an end, and we will be back to gather at public worship in the morning and the evening on the 13th. It does mean, and some of you have been asking about this, it does, of course, mean that the midweek ladies' fellowship, which we had planned for that first week of December time with Keith Preston, my dad, that won't be taking place. He is watching, I think, on the YouTube and had lots of preparation done for it, but it won't go to waste. We will use that again in the new year. And I know some of you already, I've seen, have been bringing up bags of toiletries and that sort of thing that he had requested. So we'll get that to him but even before he comes to speak to us. So either drop it to the church tonight or around the manse, and that'll be fine. Also, our great plan that we had to sing some carols around the long-term housebound, it's going to be put back a week. Obviously, we won't be encouraging people out and about during the weeks of restriction, so it's going to have to wait till the 13th. We've got 20-ish or so on the list of people whom we want to go and sing carols with, and we only have 3 families so far who can sing, so it would be great if we had a few more. If you're including me in that, I'm not sure I can sing, but Jenny can sing. But it would be good to have a few more, and that would spread the work, and we would get round that on the week beginning the 13th. Finally, I don't have it sitting. We have daily breads out in the vestibule. If you wish to collect it, it's for December, January, and February. And Elizabeth got a supply of them. So if you want to take one on the way out, you're more than free. Let's turn with me. If you could, have your Bibles with you, turn with me to God's Word, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. I'm going to read the first 15 verses of it. Isaiah 14 speaks of the day star falling. Indeed, we know the little word who fells him, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Isaiah 14 and verses 1 to 15. And then we'll flip over to Romans 15. But first, Isaiah. For the Lord will have compassion on Jacob, and will again choose Israel, and will set them in their own land. And sojourners will join them, and will attach themselves to the house of Jacob. And the peoples will take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel will possess them in the Lord's land as male and female slaves. They will take captive those who were their captors, and rule over those who oppressed them. When the Lord has given you rest from your pain and tumult, in the hard service in which you were made to serve, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. How the oppressor has ceased, and the insolent fury ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the ruler that struck the people in wrath with unceasing blows, that ruled the nations in anger with unrelenting persecution. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. The cypresses rejoice at you, the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were laid low, no woodcutter comes up against us. Sheol beneath is stirred up to meet you when you come. It rouses the shades to greet you, all who are leaders of the earth. It raises from their thrones all who are kings of the nations. And all of them will answer and say to you, you too have become as weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp is brought down to Sheol. The sound of your harps and the maggots are laid as a bed beneath you, and worms are your covers. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of David. How you are cut down to the ground, you who lay the nations low. You say in your heart, I will ascend to heavens. Above the stars of God, I will set my throne on high. I will sit in the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Amen. And we turn to Romans 15. It's a break from our series on Acts, but I thought appropriate for our morning that we would hear of the God of encouragement and the God of endurance, the God in whom we have our hope. Romans 15 and verse 1 to 7. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word. Let's pray, shall we, before we come before it. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come before your word here and now, we are grateful to it for our instruction, for our encouragement, Lord, for the hope that it presents us with. And we pray, Father, that, Lord, you would reveal unto us yet afresh the hope of our salvation, that you would reveal unto us, people, our need to love you and indeed love our neighbor. Lord, we ask that you would hide the proclaimer of this word, and Lord, instead magnify the one that it proclaims about, that you would magnify Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, in the words of I guess of the BBC TV announcer. We interrupt our regularly scheduled series and our regular series in Acts to bring you a word from the end of the book of Romans. I was drawn to the end of Romans, in Romans 15. You know, in 2020, we've had to grow used to our lives being interrupted. Our plans, well, we said maybe, well, we'll go here this week, or for some of us, I needed to get the Christmas shopping done maybe a week or two earlier than we thought we might have had. Our plans are being interrupted. We've had to be socially distanced from our families more than we thought we would ever have to bear. And surely such a time is refining our ability to do exactly as God's word says, hope in Christ, to hope in Him. That despite circumstances, despite the national emergency, that we would grow in our hope. You have all come, whether here in person or watching on YouTube or listening on Zoom, on the telephone, you've all come further than any of you dare imagined you would have to. Remember, I spoke just before the first lockdown from John 14. We spoke concerning the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ, particularly, I focused in the midst of a major panic. And surely, each of us have received that peace, that hope. We received it because He came, born of a virgin, suffered and died, and shed His blood, that we, the guilty, may go free. We're not panicking here. I'm not looking out, and I can't see into the people on their YouTube and their homes, but we're not panicking here in church. And I don't think we're panicking on the phone, and we don't think we're panicking on YouTube. We're not panicking because we've had months, I guess, of living with all of this. And I guess with the interruption of these latest restrictions, we know that our God will be sufficient. And this will be the last time that we're able to gather publicly in here on this evening for 2 weeks. And I trust and pray that that's all it will be. I know that's probably on our minds. We're all thinking that a little bit. I hope that's all it will be. I think we've reasonable confidence to assume that is the case. But I want to turn to the penultimate chapter of Romans 15, to hear Paul's words to a people who are like us in a pressing situation, who are like us, I think, maybe tempted to pull apart, and who like us need that hope-filled perspective. I want to consider the verses and then draw that application about considering the other, about knowing unity, about finding our hope and our comfort in the Word of God. Paul had previously in the previous verses in chapter 14 been speaking about weak and strong believers exercising Christian freedom together. And in chapter 15, he goes on to give principles for a church in a time of suffering and dispute. And he goes, in this paragraph, to speak about a unity and a harmony in Christ. That's his prayer. He wants the church to set aside preferences that they may have for themselves and instead please the other. Build up the other. And as they do that, they would copy then the example of love in Christ. They're following their master, their Lord. And that's what Scripture witnesses to. And then he ends the paragraph in a prayer for that harmony, that renewed belief in God who gives endurance and gives a comfort. Verse 1 starts with Paul addressing the strong, or maybe a better translation might be capable, the capable Christians in the church. those who exercise their faith and they have a Christian liberty about not observing certain old rituals. We may be familiar with Romans, and we may be familiar with that situation that Paul was speaking into about the capable and the not so capable. There are those who are capable in that early church in Rome that their faith in Christ allowed them to eat meats. All meats were clean, and that they were allowed to drink wine, and they judged each day the same. They didn't have festival days and that sort of thing. Whereas the incapable, or we translate the weak, they're not yet convinced that their faith in Christ allows them to do such things. And Paul's been trying to tell them that the capable must not force the incapable to sin, or that the capable must not put a stumbling block in their way. So Paul's trying to give this principle for how the body then should act. The strong, the capable, ought to use their capacity to bear the weakness of those who are without strength. Bear with the failing of the weak, he says. Bear with them. I suppose it's not a case of, well, I'll bear with you, I'll put up with you, I'll endure these things, and surely you'll see the light eventually. That's not the sense that Paul is getting across here. It's a bearing one another's burdens. It's a sympathy for the other. It's a refraining from criticizing and judging them. And instead, Paul wants the strong, the capable, to do what love would require done. Carry their infirmities, as the Lord Jesus Christ carried ours. And then he repeats that point in verse 2. And for the whole church, let each of us, whether weak or strong, basically, please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Put the other first. Put your neighbor first. What is the goal of that, pleasing the other? Well, it's that they would be built up in the spiritual things, in faith, in love, in unity. That the other would not be pained by you, but rather pleased. Pleased. And what's the example for this? Verse 3 tells us, for Christ did not please himself. The example that Paul sets before them is nonetheless than the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did not please himself. What did Christ say? Yet not my will be done, but yours. The one who endured this cross, who scorned its shames, who endured such opposition from sinful man. Come down from the cross, they taunted him. Surely God will send angels. You're the Son of God. And yet he endured the shame and the ignominy, all in service to his heavenly Father to save sinful men and women. And Paul quotes Psalm 69 here. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. That is to say that the insults of people directed at God fell on Christ. And he endured all that taunting, even the humiliation of his life, is that witness to Christ's pleasing the people, his service for his people. And then so he's just quoted the Old Testament, verse 4, then that gives it in context. Why then, Paul would seem to kind of digress and want to talk about the purposes of Scripture? Well, he's just quoted from Psalm 69. So then he says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. He links the instruction gain to the situation at hand. The church is going through trial and suffering, and in this they are to imitate Christ's service to others. And then so reading Scripture that they would find and see a fulfillment in Jesus and have a hope grown in them. That they would endure, that the people would endure through the times, through the dispute, through the suffering. And then through the comfort and the encouragement of Scripture, that there might be produced in them that hope. And what is the hope? Well, as it is, as we talked with with the boys and girls, it's a hope of salvation, a hope in the glory that awaits, a hope that bears up and under the pressures of suffering and pressing circumstances, an eternal hope. And finally, having called them to please one another, not themselves, reminded them of the purposes of Scripture, Paul then prays in verses 5 to 7 for perspective. Perspective. He prays to God, the one who is the source of all comfort and endurance. And that this God, through this suffering and strife, would see fit to bind them together. That they would live in such harmony with one another. That they would think the same about Christ. And that they would be devoted to the same Lord. That they would glorify him. And it's not that they would stop having their own opinions or own convictions, but chiefly, above all, that they would be united to Jesus. And what does this union aim for? Well, verse 7 tells us that the glory of God. That as a church, despite stronger and weaker brothers, despite suffering and trial, that they would love the Lord and love one another. And they would speak with one voice about Christ to a needy world and so glorify him. You know, I was drawn to verse 4, particularly, I guess, for us. And I was going to do, it was Friday morning, this in lockdown had been announced, and I thought, well, I'll do it all on verse 4. But actually, reading the paragraph, I believe that there is a better message, and not a therapeutic message, but a better message of encouragement, exhortation to you and to me to love one another, to endure suffering, and to find our comfort and hope. You know, the Lord has given each of us, here in person, or at home, listening on the phone or on the TV, we've been given a special privilege. You might think to yourself, listen to the news, I haven't been given any special privilege. But we have. We have. We suffer for the name of Jesus. And some of you are capable. Some of you have been able to keep going, not really thinking too much about this virus, burying it up and just getting on. How does the song go? Keep on keeping on. Isn't that right? You've been capable. And yet some have not fared so well at all. Spoken with folk who've known great anxiety, and I'm sure in your own family circles you can think of those as well who are struggling. Known great worry for health, for society, for all manner of things. Who can scarce listen to the news. But from the passage I want to say to us, and say to us all, we must all hear afresh the warning to bear with one another, to not please ourselves in these matters, not to be divided, but rather to love our neighbor for their good, to build them up, to follow our master who bore reproach, who suffered to the point of crucifixion, not pleasing himself, but loving others. Yes, the capable in here, the strong may be fine with the assembly of God's people. Little regard, perhaps, for masks or spaces or that sort of thing. Maybe they're in great health. But for the sake of the weaker brother and sister who are fearful, who are anxious, for these 2 weeks, I ask you to bear with them. We enter, and I want us, whether here in person or at the 9:30, as I said to them, or as I'm saying on YouTube, or I'm saying to those who are listening on the phone, I want us to be together, to go into this lockdown united as a congregation. United. And then we'll come through it on the other side 2 weeks later, God willing, together for the glory of God. I believe 2 Corinthians 4:17. that this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. This light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. I say to the capable, I say to the strong, see your suffering in the right perspective. We have little burdens in comparison with what Christ had to suffer for the sake of others. And it is a privilege of ours to imitate him in service. Truthfully, we have said this before in service. There are many brothers and sisters in persecuted countries, in Islamic countries, in secular atheist states, under many pagan despots throughout this world this morning, who would rejoice in thinking that they are forbidden from public gathering for only 2 weeks. Because for them, they have had no liberty to gather for years and years, and no prospect of it for years. Indeed, they face the whip for having but a sip of communion. It is not right for us to be forbidden from public assembly. I am deeply saddened that the Lord, we note this well, it is the Lord, has taken away the public liberty to do so. But in suffering, we love our neighbors. And we look out to overflowing, overwhelmed hospitals. We look to COVID-19 cases rising. Doctors and nurses, and I've spoken with them, who are feared even touching folk for fear of spreading it on wards. And in that context, we hear our betters, and civilly so, though we may not think of it at times, they are those whom the Lord has put into an authority over us. We hear what they tell us is needed at this time. So we who are strong, we stand with the case of the weaker, that we would be united with them in devotion to our Lord and our Savior and in service to this world. It is okay to have different opinions about these times, but we all as a congregation must unite afresh in our love for Jesus Christ and witness to this world. Let me say to the weaker and the stronger that we have been stripped back over these months, and now it seems for another 2 weeks, of so much. So much. You have missed out on birthdays. You have missed out on anniversaries. You have missed out on celebrations. You've missed out on all manner of public gatherings. Some have not been able to come back or not feel able even to be at church. We've missed out an awful lot. And the Lord has stripped that back from you. But perhaps we might learn the lesson afresh of endurance, of comfort, that in everything he takes away, he replaces and he fills up with more of the hope of Christ. Everything taken away, he replaces with more of the hope of Christ. Campbell Ann and myself would both testify to that in phone calls, in the homes of the bereaved, as we've been allowed to be in over this time. I think over 16 funerals since March time. But in those homes, that which the Lord has taken away, he replaces with yet more of the hope of Christ. More endurance through suffering and witness to his glory. Now, and I am not describing some sort of super spiritual thing reserved for the holiest of holy folk. This is the common experience of those who believe that God is sufficient as the author of endurance and comfort. That God is the author of our salvation. That God is our hope of salvation through his Son. I want to say to us all, spare yourself much heartache over the next couple of weeks. Believe in Job's God. What did Job say? Though he slays me, yea, I will have hope in him. And while blessings and ease may once again be removed, where our liberties may be once again removed, for every one that is removed, he is yet more to us, more and more, filling us with assurance, with comfort, and true eternal hope in his Son, bringing us together a people, bringing us and binding us together a people. And you know, for some perhaps who've been listening, hearing the preacher speak of this hope, you've as yet not attended to the instruction of Scripture. You're not in accord with Christ at all. Never mind stronger or weaker brothers or sisters, you can't even count yourself a child of God. In fact, you don't have hope present. What you have is hell awaiting. And that seems stark, but it is the truth. Now, how much shaking of your eternal soul must the Lord do? These circumstances, the upheaval of society, do you not yearn for something solid? Do you not yearn for an answer to the purpose of life and relief from the guilt of your soul? The answer is presented before you here this morning. Clear and simple, as I said to the little ones. Clear and simple. Written for our instruction, that you might have hope. Acts 16 and 31 tells us, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Christ will not turn away those who come in repentance and faith. And what with joy then we can enter into with him. That we, the guilty, may go free. Our sin-sick souls washed clean by his blood. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God. Friends, Romans 1 and 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We're an earshot of the gospel. You're an earshot of the gospel. But I can't save you. He can. Do you hear his voice? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Let's each of us go into this fresh round of government restrictions, hearing our Master's voice, seeking to please the other, knowing a harmony in this congregation, that God would be the source of our endurance and comfort, and with one voice, we would glorify him. Let us pray. Let us pray. Our almighty God, Heavenly Father, you've promised us that through your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that whatever we ask, you in his name, you will grant to us. And how, our Father, we ask for harmony. Lord, we ask for fresh endurance. Lord, we ask for fresh comfort. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would help us, weak and strong, to bear with one another for the other's good. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would grow in us that hope of salvation yet afresh, that we would have new eyes to see that which you take away, you replace. And you force us to bear more on Christ. Oh, Lord, we want to exalt his rule and his reign in our lives. And Father, we pray for our government that they so too would do likewise. Oh, Lord, we can't scarce but imagine the decisions that they have to make, the complexities and, Lord, the advice that they have to, Lord, weigh up. And Lord, we lift them before you. And pray, Father, that they would seek to serve you. Lord, you entrust unto them so much authority over the people. Lord, we ask that they would bear these things wisely. Lord, remember the people of this land before you. Lord, as there's been much confusion, Lord, in the media, mixed messages and all the rest. Lord, we pray for the sake of our neighbor. Lord, we pray for, Lord, a fresh obedience to that which you would have, Lord, the people sit under, Lord, for these weeks. We remember those who are in hospital, Lord, serving others. Remember our doctors, our nurses, our care assistants, Lord, those in nursing homes, Lord, those out in the community. And Father, what fear and anxiety they must, Lord, daily have to bear. Lord, we pray for those who are Christians, that yet more as you take away, Lord, so too you would fill them up with the hope of glory, the hope of Christ, that they would know your plans and purposes, that they would know a fresh zeal for service to you and service to others. Lord, remember your church. Lord, to those in whom you have entrusted the proclamation of the Holy Gospel. And Father, we pray, Lord, for these incoming weeks. Lord, whether we're gathered in our cars, or Lord, those who tune in to reflections, Lord, we pray for the going forth of your word, that it would not be bound. Lord, we are sorrowful that we cannot meet in person one to another as we are right now. And Lord, we ask for a sense of, Lord, humility. Lord, a sense of, Lord, your will in these things, that we would be taught that which you would teach us, have us taught. We remember particularly, our Father, congregations in this presbytery, like Carncastle, Lord, who with great zeal and desire wanted to install, Lord, Andrew, on the 6th of December, and for that to be taken away. Lord, we pray that this would outwork, Lord, indeed, in your plans and purposes for soon and very soon. Remember other congregations and other presbyteries, perhaps some who had even been hearing, Lord, assistance. And we think of our own brother Campbell. And Lord, we ask for, Lord, a sense of patience and a sense of peace. Lord, that we would be united in harmony one to another, that acclamation and public, Lord, discord would drift away, and the Church of Jesus Christ would speak of one word and one word concerning its Savior. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship that we have here. We thank you for the opportunity that we have here in this morning and this evening to gather and the midweek. And Lord, we pray for, Lord, all those who have, Lord, we pray for the giving of tithes and offerings. Lord, that you would take and use those, Lord, for the extension of your kingdom. And Lord, remember those whom we know, who you've visited with sickness, Lord, with, Lord, even operations to come in the weeks ahead and the anxiety that awaits. Lord, for those who you visited with bereavement and misery and hardship. Lord, we ask that you would be close unto them. Be in that good shepherd your word instructs us that you instructs us about and concerning. That they would understand your plans and your purposes. That your gracious fatherly hand would be upon them. And that they may turn afresh with all their hearts to you. We ask these things in the strong name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and evermore. Amen.